Alrighty. So, anyway, tonight we're going to have a little shorter class, hopefully, because I got a lot of things happening, and tomorrow we're having a big program. We're having the formal celebration here in Nukualoka of my Vyasa Puja, or Appearance Day, as the case may be. So, take everything a little shorter. Nagaranamaruva Jaya Kunjabi Satashi Shimad is Divine Grace of Ayachananda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijai Premasekho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadat Asiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasidevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Paranta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So, Omagana Timidanda Shagananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anyway, let's go on to the Krishna book. And we are reading about Krishna pleasing his devotees from the 48th chapter of the Krishna book. So let me share the screen. And without further ado, we will go to the Krishna book. So this chapter is entitled, Krishna Pleases His Devotees. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so for days together, remember Uddhava has just come back from Vrindavan where he conveyed Krishna's messages to the gopis and to the other residents of Vrindavan. So for days together, Krishna heard from Uddhava all the details of his visit to Vrindavan, especially the condition of his father and mother and of the gopis and the cowherd boys. Lord Krishna was fully satisfied that Uddhava was able to solace them by his instructions and by the message delivered to them. Lord Krishna then decided to go to the house of Gubja, the hunchback woman who had pleased him by offering him sandalwood pulp when he was entering the city of Mathura. Remember, she was Sirpanaka before. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna always tries to please his devotees as much as the devotees try to please Krishna. As the devotees always think of Krishna within their hearts, Krishna also thinks of his devotees within himself. When Kubja was converted into a beautiful society girl, she wanted Krishna to come to her place so that she could try to receive and worship him in her own way. Society girls generally try to satisfy their clients by offering their bodies for the men to enjoy. But this society girl, Kubja, was actually captivated by a lust to satisfy her senses with Krishna. When Krishna desired to go to the house of Kubja, he certainly had no desire for sense gratification, because he has a spiritual body. By supplying the sandalwood pulp to Krishna, Kubja had already satisfied his senses. On the plea of her sense gratification, however, he decided to go to her house not actually for sense gratification, but to turn her into a pure devotee. Krishna is always served by many thousands of goddesses of fortune. Therefore, he has no need to satisfy his senses by going to a society girl. Society girl basically means a loose girl. But because he is kind to everyone, he decided to go there. It is said that the moon does not withhold its shining from the courtyard of a crooked person. Similarly, Krishna's transcendental mercy is never denied to anyone who has rendered service unto him, whether through lust, anger, fear, or pure love. So of course, the Bhagavatam says, whatever your desire, full of material desires, free of material desires, desires of liberation, just tivrena bhakti yogena, just worship Krishna enthusiastically. Just be honest with yourself. If you have some desire, don't be dishonest. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that if one wants to serve Krishna and at the same time wants to satisfy his own lusty desires, Krishna will handle the situation so that the devotee forgets his lusty desires and becomes fully purified and constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. To fulfill his promise, Krishna, along with Uddhava, went to the house of Kubja, who was very eager to get Krishna for the satisfaction of her lusty desires. When Krishna reached her house, he saw that it was completely decorated in a way to excite the lusty desires of a man. This suggests that there are many nude pictures, whew, on top of which were canopies and flags embroidered with pearl necklaces along with comfortable beds and cushioned chairs. The rooms were provided with flower garlands and were nicely scented with incense and sprinkled with scented water. And the rooms were illuminated by nice lamps. So, this reminds me of John Lennon's house when Prabhupada visited. There were all sorts of licentious pictures on the wall. When Kubja saw that Lord Krishna had come to her house to fulfill his promised visit, she immediately got up from her chair to receive him cordially. Accompanied by her many girlfriends, she began to talk with him with great respect and honor. After offering him a nice place to sit, she worshipped Lord Krishna in a manner just suitable to her position. Uddhava was similarly received by Kubja and her girlfriends, but he did not want to sit on an equal level with Krishna, and thus he simply sat down on the floor. As one usually does in such situations, Krishna entered the bedroom of Kubja without wasting time. In the meantime, Kubja took her bath and smeared her body with sandalwood pulp. She dressed herself with nice garments, valuable jewels, ornaments, and flower garlands. After chewing betel nut and other intoxicating eatables and spraying herself with scents, she appeared before Krishna. Her smiling glance and moving eyebrows were full of feminine bashfulness as she stood gracefully before Lord Krishna, who was known as Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. When Krishna saw Kubja hesitating to come before him, he immediately caught hold of her hand, which was decorated with bangles. With great affection, he dragged her near him and made her sit by his side. Simply by having previously supplied pulp of sandalwood to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, Kubja became free from all sinful reactions and eligible to enjoy with him. She then took Krishna's lotus feet and placed them on her breasts, which were burning with the blazing fire of lust. By smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, she was immediately relieved of all lusty desires. She was thus allowed to embrace Krishna with her arms and mitigate her long-cherished desire to have him as a visitor in her house. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that one must be free from all material sinful reactions before one can engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Simply by supplying sandalwood pulp to Krishna, Kubja was thus rewarded. She was not trained to worship Krishna in any other way. Therefore, she wanted to satisfy him by her profession. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord can be worshipped even by one's profession if it is sincerely offered for the pleasure of the Lord. Kubja told Krishna, "My dear friend, kindly remain with me at least for a few days and enjoy with me. My dear lotus-eyed friend, I cannot leave you immediately. Please grant my request." As stated in the Vedic versions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has multipotency. According to expert opinion, Kubja represents the Bhu Shakti potency of Krishna. That's like Bhumi, like the earth Shakti. And also means the material potency. Just as Srimati Radharani represents his Chit Shakti potency, that spiritual. Although Kubja requested Krishna to remain with her for some days, Krishna politely impressed upon her that it was not possible for him to stay. Krishna visits this material world occasionally, whereas his connection with the spiritual world is eternal. Krishna is always present either in the Vaikuntha planets or in the Goloka Vrindavan planet. The technical term of his presence in the spiritual world is aprakata lila. That means, aprakata means it's not manifest in this world. So that's why we say when we go to Vrindavan, Krishna is still there, but his lila is aprakata. In other words, not manifest to you. After satisfying Kubja with sweet words, Krishna returned home with Uddhava. There is a warning in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is not very easily worshipped, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief among the Vishnu Tattvas. That means God and his various expansions. To worship Krishna or have association with him is not very easy. Specifically, there is a warning for devotees attracted to Krishna through conjugal love. It is not good for them to desire sense gratification by direct association with Krishna. Actually, the activities of sense gratification are material. In the spiritual world, there are symptoms like kissing and embracing, but there is no sense gratificatory process as it exists in the material world. This warning is specifically for those known as sahajas, who take it for granted that Krishna is an ordinary human being. In a spiritual relationship, sense gratification is most insignificant. Anyone who desires a relationship of perverted sense gratification with Krishna must be considered less intelligent. His mentality requires to be reformed. After a while, Krishna fulfilled his promise to visit Akrura at his house. Akrura was in a relationship with Krishna as a servitor, and Krishna wanted to get some service from him. He went there accompanied by Lord Balaram and Uddhava. When Krishna, Balaram, and Uddhava approached the house of Akrura, Akrura came forward, embraced Uddhava, and offered respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna and Balaram, bowing down before them. Balaram and Uddhava offered him obeisances in turn. Krishna, Balaram, and Uddhava offered him obeisances in turn, and were offered appropriate sitting places. When all were comfortably seated, Akrura washed their feet and sprinkled the water on his head. Then he offered nice clothing, flowers, and sandalwood pulp in regular worship. All three of them were very satisfied by Akrura's behavior. Akrura then bowed down before Krishna, putting his head on the ground. Then placing Krishna's lotus feet on his lap, Akrura gently began to massage them. When Akrura was fully satisfied in the presence of Krishna and Balaram, his eyes filled with tears of love for Krishna, and he began to offer his prayers as follows. My dear Lord Krishna and Balaram, it is very kind of you to have killed Kamsa and his associates. You have delivered the whole family of the Yadu dynasty from the greatest calamity. The Yadus will always remember your saving of their great dynasty. My dear Lord Krishna and Balaram, both of you are the original personality from whom everything has emanated, the original cause of all causes. You have inconceivable energy and you are all pervasive. There is no cause and effect, gross or subtle, but you. You are the supreme Brahman realized through the study of the Vedas. By your inconceivable energy, you actually are manifest visible, visibly before us. You create this cosmic manifestation by your own potencies. Hold on a second. And you enter into it yourself as the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, are distributed and everything manifested by different kinds of bodies. So you alone enter the various bodies created by your own energy. You enter the body as the individual soul and independently as the super soul. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the material body is created by Krishna's inferior energy and that the living entities, the individual souls, are his parts and parcels, and that the super soul is his localized representation. Thus, while the material body, the living entity, and the super soul constitute an individual living being, originally they are all different energies of the one Supreme Lord. Akrura continued, in the material world, you create, maintain, and dissolve whole manifestation by the interactions of the three material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. But you are not implicated in the activities of those material qualities, for your supreme knowledge is never overcome like the knowledge of the individual living entity. The Supreme Lord enters the material cosmos and causes creation, maintenance, and destruction in their due course, whereas the part and parcel living entity enters the material elements and has his material body created for him. The difference between the living entity and the Lord is the living entity is the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and has the tendency to be overcome by the interactions of the material qualities. Krishna, of course, the Chuta, infallible. Krishna, the Para Brahman, or the Supreme Brahman, being always situated in full knowledge, is never overcome by such activities. Oh, therefore, Krishna is called the Chuta. See, I guessed it. Meaning he who never falls down. Krishna's knowledge of his spiritual identity is never overcome by material action. Whereas the minute part and parcel of living entities, that's us, are prone to forget their spiritual identity due to material action. In fact, we have forgotten. The individual living entities are eternally part and parcel of God, minute sparks of the original fire, Krishna. As sparks are prone to be extinguished, but not the blazing fire, so the living entities can be overcome by material activities, whereas Krishna never can. Akrura continued, less intelligent men misunderstand your transcendental form to be made of material energy, but that concept is not at all applicable to you. Actually, you are all spiritual, and there is no difference between you and your body. Therefore, there is no question of your being conditioned or liberated. You are ever liberated in any condition of life. So Krishna never becomes covered by his illusory potency, whereas we are covered, thrown and covered. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only fools and rascals consider you an ordinary man. To consider your lordship one of us conditioned by the material nature is a mistake due to our imperfect knowledge. When people deviate from the original knowledge of the Vedas, they try to identify the ordinary living entities with your lordship who have appeared on this earth in your original form to reestablish the real knowledge that the living entities are neither one with nor equal to the Supreme God. My dear Lord, you are always situated in uncontaminated goodness. Shuddha Sattva. Your appearance is necessary to reestablish actual Vedic knowledge, as opposed to the atheistic philosophy which tries to establish that God and the living entities are one and the same. Of course, that's impersonalism. My dear Lord Krishna, this time you have appeared in the home of Vasudeva as his son with your plenary expansion, Sri Balarama. Your mission is to kill all the atheistic royal families and destroy their huge military strength. You have advented yourself to minimize the burden of the world and to fulfill this mission. You have glorified the dynasty of Yadu by appearing as one of its members. My dear Lord, today my home has been purified by your presence. I have become the most fortunate person in the world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipable by all different kinds of demigods, pithas, kings, emperors, and other living entities, and who is the supersoul of everything, has come into my home. The water of his lotus feet purifies the three worlds, and now he has kindly come to my place. Who in the three worlds among factually learned men will not take shelter of your lotus feet and surrender unto you? Who, knowing well that no one can be as affectionate as you are to your devotees, is so foolish that he will decline to become your devotee? Throughout the Vedic literature, it is declared that you are the dearmost friend of every living entity. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 529, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, famous verse, that the Lord is the friend of all living entities. Bhuktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Getvamam Shanti Machati. One realizes that, one can be peaceful. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, completely capable of fulfilling the desires of your devotees. You are the real friend of everyone. In spite of giving yourself to your devotees, you are never depleted of your original potency. Your potency neither decreases nor increases in volume. My dear Lord, it is very difficult for even great mystic yogis and demigods to ascertain your movements or approach you. Yet out of your causeless mercy, you have kindly consented to come to my home. This is the most auspicious moment in the journey of my material existence. By your grace only, I can now understand that my home, my wife, my children, and my worldly possessions are all bonds to material existence, bondage. Please cut the knot and save me from this entanglement of false society, friendship, and love. Lord Sri Krishna was very much pleased by Akrura's offering of prayers. With his smile captivating Akrura more and more, the Lord replied to his submissive devotional statements with the following sweet words. My dear Akrura, in spite of your submissiveness, I consider you my superior, on the level with my father and teacher and most well-wishing friend. You are therefore to be worshipped by me. And since you are my uncle, and I am always to be protected by you, I desire you to maintain me, for I am one of your children, own children. Apart from this filial relationship, an exalted devotee like you is always to be worshipped by everyone. Anyone who desires good fortune must offer his respectful obeisances unto personalities like you who are greater than the demigods. People worship the demigods when in need of some sense gratification, and the demigods offer benedictions to their devotees after being worshipped. But a devotee like you, Akrura, is always ready to offer people the greatest benediction. A saintly person or devotee is free to offer benedictions to everyone, whereas the demigods can offer benedictions only after being worshipped. One can take advantage of a place of pilgrimage only after going there, and worshipping a particular demigod involves waiting a long time for the fulfillment of one's desire. But saintly persons like you, my dear Akrura, can immediately fulfill all the desires of a devotee. Wow. My dear Akrura, you are always our friend and well-wisher. You are always ready to act for our welfare. Kindly, therefore, go to Hastinapur and see what arrangement has been made for the Pandavas. So even though Krishna knew, because he's the Supreme Personality of God in everyone's heart, Krishna was acting like an ordinary person. In many cases, in other cases, he showed his godly nature. Krishna was anxious to know about the sons of Pandu because at a very young age they had lost their father. Being very friendly to his devotees, Krishna was anxious to know about them, and therefore he deputed Akrura to go to Hastinapura and get information of the real situation. Krishna continued, I have heard that after King Pandu's death, his young sons, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, along with their widowed mother, have come under the charge of Dhritarashtra, who is to look after them as their guardian. But I have also heard that Dhritarashtra is not only blind from birth, but also blind in his affection for his cruel son, Duryodhana. Wow. The five Pandavas are the sons of King Pandu, but Dhritarashtra, due to Duryodhana's plans and designs, is not favorably disposed toward them. Kindly go there and study how Dhritarashtra is dealing with the Pandavas. On receipt of your report, I shall consider how to favor them. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ordered Akrura to go to Hastinapura, and then he returned home accompanied by Balaram and Uddhava. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 48th chapter of Krishna. Krishna pleases his devotees. So Krishna wants to find out what's happening with Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, the five Pandavas, and Krishna really wants to help, although he knows what's happening and he has his plan already made, pre-made. Okay, so we're going to end early, so we'll allow 5 or 10 minutes for questions at this particular point. We're going to stop muting you all. Give me 1 second. Let's see. And allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay. You are technically allowed to unmute yourselves now. So, who has a question? You can type in the chat window. I could have predicted this. Rakesh has a question.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Gurudev. Kubja is considered as a Bhushakti?
Yes.
What does it mean?
What it means? Technically, the Supreme Lord has multifarious potencies. And usually, when you see the Lord accompanied, he's accompanied by Shri and Bhu Shakti means basically that she is manifesting an expansion of Bhumi. She's not Bhumi, but she's an expansion of Bhumi, perhaps an empowered expansion, because she is a jiva soul. She's not Shakti Tattva. So, as far as Bhumi, I'm not sure of her ontological position. But she's actually a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes Bhu Shakti, or Bhu Devi, is equated with Maya Sita, who was the one who was kidnapped by Ravan. So anyway, so the Lord, if you go to see Venkateshwara in Srirangam, or I'm sorry, in Tirupati, then he's accompanied by Sri and Bhu, his two consorts. So she's considered, Bhu is considered one of the eternal consorts of the Supreme Person. Oh, got it. It's not that Kubja is one of the eternal consorts of the Lord, but she was empowered by that. She's a jiva soul. She's a jiva soul. She's not Shakti Tattva. I mean, because she was in Maya before. As I mentioned previously, she was previously Sarpanaka, who wanted to have a relationship with Lord Ram, and eventually she got so angry that she was getting ready to kill the universal mother Sita Devi. So that's Bhu Shakti. And Bhumi is also a member of that Bhu Shakti category. Sri and Bhu. Okay. So who else has a question? Does anybody else have a question? It's interesting. Nobody else has a question. Oh, Gopal.
Please accept my obeisance to Srila Gurudev.
My blessings. What's up?
So Lord Balaram is traveling with Krishna and all these places in Mathura and from Vrindavan to Mathura. And it just occurred to me that in all the pastimes where Krishna and Balaram are together, especially in Vrindavan, Lord Balaram never worries about Krishna the way all of the other associates and devotees do. Like when Krishna was dancing on the Kaliya serpent's heads and he was in the coils, everyone was fainting and worrying. And even though they're all pure devotees and understand Krishna fully, Lord Balaram was just smiling.
Yeah.
So Lord Balaram, he's the original spiritual master. He's instructing us by instructions and example. So how is it that the pure devotees who are also under the shelter of Lord Balaram, they worry about Krishna while Lord Balaram doesn't?
Because they're under Yogamaya, and that's part of their relationship with Krishna. Incidentally, Balaram didn't go with Krishna to the Kubja's house.
Right.
Yeah, there's so in the beginning, he goes everywhere, but he didn't go with Krishna to Kubja's house. And he doesn't go with Krishna when Krishna dances with the gopis.
Yeah.
He doesn't go with Krishna. In fact, you know, Prabhupada said when you're doing deity worship, you can't have Balaram on the same altar with Srimati Radharani.
Mm.
Close to Srimati Radharani. Because there's conflicting, I mean, not, they are not in conflict, but there's conflicting rasas. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't, you know, just like you could have two different preparations, a sweet preparation and a salty preparation, but they don't necessarily mix, and they both may be very nice.
Yes. Thank you, Gary.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so, anybody else? No, I guess that's it. Anyway, we finished this chapter today. And tomorrow, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Oh, here's a question. Hare Krishna, Gurudev. We heard gopis were chastising Akura as wicked Akura. Today we hear, yes, he's a saintly devotee. Yeah, actually, I forgot. I should have mentioned that point. That you may be the greatest saintly devotee. You may be rendering, like, inconceivable service, but if you commit an offense against the pure devotee, of course, the gopis, what to speak of the gopis, then you will still have some difficulty. There's no immunity. So one doesn't balance out another one. So Akura was and is a saintly devotee. A fact. It is a fact. But because he committed that offense against the gopis, even though it was his duty, I mean, that's a heavy thing, it was his duty to actually take Krishna to Mathura. And Krishna wanted it. And that shows how exalted the devotees are, the gopis are. That no matter who you are, how exalted you are, not as exalted as the gopis, that if you upset the gopis or great devotees of the Lord, phew, you got some trouble brewing. So that shows the potency of the devotees. So it says he's a great devotee. But actually, yes, I'm not going to argue with that one. But it's more important to be a great devotee of Krishna's devotees. And I'm not saying that he didn't properly respect the gopis or be devotional towards them. It's just that, you know, they got upset with him and they cursed him. You got to be really careful around devotees. Yes, and also, we mentioned before, he didn't console the gopis. That we've been reading about. He didn't console the gopis and explain everything to them. Basically, he didn't even talk to them. So that's actually a good point. But in any case, I mean, whatever he is as a devotee, still the gopis were not happy with him. So that's the real point. Okay, Gopal, you have another question? Your hand is still raised.
Yes, Gurudev. On the point of Akura upsetting the gopis, we just read about Krishna going to Akura's house before Akura's so-called offense to the gopis manifested in the Tramantaka episode. So Krishna had the opportunity to give any hint or instruction to Akura that, you know, maybe you should send a note to the gopis apologizing or anything like that. And Krishna didn't take that opportunity to save Akura from the reaction by instructing him to mitigate.
It was a pastime. It was a pastime. But, you know, you could say, well, why didn't Krishna forgive Akura? But, you know, even the Lord doesn't forgive people who offend his devotees. That's another lesson from that.
But at least in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya instructed so many of his devotees, you offended this other devotee, you should apologize. And those kinds of things went on. It didn't happen here. Why?
No, it didn't happen. Krishna had his own reasons in his pastimes.
Mm.
Krishna, you know, you have to ask Krishna that question.
Will do.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. I guess that's it. And tomorrow, hopefully, we may or may not have a class tomorrow because tomorrow we got this big festival, which is supposed to be IVS Puja, and a lot of people coming. It's going to be in the midday, but yeah, I don't know how I'll feel towards the evening. Probably a little exhaustissimo. So, anyway, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow or the next day. And actually, we're going to be broadcasting. Sorry about that. We'll be broadcasting the Vyasa Puja ceremony. It won't be interactive, but it is going to be on Zoom and YouTube and Facebook, hopefully. And you'll be able to watch it, hopefully. I'm just hoping that. And it starts a little early, probably very early for those people in the South Pacific. But anyway, the video will be there on YouTube later on. So it starts at 11 o'clock East Coast time in the United States, which basically means like, what, about 2 o'clock in the morning for those in Sydney, Australia, or later, actually, for those in like 3 or 4. For those, something like it. You got to check your local times. For those in Australia and Fiji. Anyway, we will see what the Lord wants. Yeah, probably I'll be too tired tomorrow. But that's up to Krishna. All right, thank you very much. All glorious to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.